Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We continue looking back on the 2017 season, but joining me today is not a coach, but actually an official, and he is USA Football's own Joe Frollo. Joe, it's great to have you here on the podcast. I know we talk every day, so we kind of got a different setting here.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot, Keith. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
Well, Joe, first answer this important question. Why in the world would anybody become an official?
Sure. Well, I'm a son of a coach. My father coached junior high basketball and baseball for 30 years. So I was coaching Little League baseball by the time I was 15, 16 years old. I was coaching his basketball teams throughout high school. And I continued on with that through my mid-20s or so. But I didn't get married until later in my 20s, didn't start having kids for a few years. And to be honest, I got into officiating for a little extra money. I love the game. I wanted to be part of the game. I didn't quite have the time anymore to dedicate to four or five practices and game days a week. But I wanted to get back to the game where I could. I knew the rules inside and out. I'd grown up with them. I'd learned them. I'd played them. And I felt that officiating would be a good start. So I started officiating youth football and adult basketball in Pennsylvania back in the 90s. And it's grown from there. I moved to Ohio and now I'm in Indiana, where I work with the Indianapolis CYO as one of their lead officials for their third through eighth grade levels. And I also do basketball for CYO. And it's a lot of fun. It's some exercise and it's some extra coin on the side.
Most of us have that viewpoint, at least the guys who listen to the show. They've played the game. They've coached the game. How is the perspective different being out there on the field as an official?
Well, in the high school and the youth level especially, and I'll be upfront here and honest, I have no desire to move on to the college or the NFL level. A lot of people get into officiating because they want to climb the ladder and they want to go bigger and better. And that's certainly great for them. For me, I want to continue giving back to the game at the youngest of levels. And being an official at those levels, especially at the youth level, but somewhat at the younger levels of high school too, you're more than just an arbiter of the rules. You're a partner in the game. You're certainly a presence for player safety. You're educating players, and sometimes you're even educating coaches on what the rules are, what you can and can't do. You're bringing more knowledge to the game, and by talking to coaches and by being open and honest with coaches and being in a partnership with them, you're raising the bar for how the players are experiencing the game and getting more out of it. I don't like to be one of those officials who just turns a back on a coach, won't answer questions, won't engage in a conversation during a break or a timeout. If a coach has a question, by all means, ask it. I want you to know what I saw, where I'm coming from. We're not always going to disagree. And as adults, we have to agree that we're not always going to disagree. But I'll be open and honest with every coach, and I'm hoping they'll be honest with me. And together, we're going to create the best possible environment for the kids to compete and enjoy and display their skills in.
Joe, I think that's an important point. And just going back to that idea of you're there to educate as well. At that level, the youth level, I've seen some officials who almost become like coaches out there on the field, because a big part of being able to play the game as a young player is just understanding some of the rules of what you can and can't do. And some of those don't come up until you're in the course of the game. When you have some youth coaches maybe looking at different things in practices, they're not trained up, their eyes don't see everything. Some of that might get by them and get out to the game field. And I think when you approach it that way as an official, that it's an opportunity to educate, I think that's a great thing. Now, how do you start the game off the right way? What would be some tips you have for coaches out there in being able to relate to those officials before things get going, before there's some heat in that game, so that things are handled throughout the game in a positive way from both sides?
Sure. One of the easiest things that an official can do to build a relationship with a coach is be there early. Now, at the high school level, you're required to be there early to look after the grounds, to check the footballs, to do an assortment of different things. But on the youth level, too, where you said, these are moms and dads who work 9 to 5. They probably skip dinner to get to the football field by 6 o'clock for a game or for a practice earlier that week. They're in just a rush as you are. But you want to get there 20, 30 minutes early. Be available on the field. Introduce yourself to the coaches, not just the head coach, but all the coaches. Let them know your name. Let them know you as a human being, as an individual, and get to know them that way as well. Let them ask questions and ask them if they have questions. I'm sure every high school coach understands this, and youth coaches know it too. The interpretations, the flow for the rules in the game can change from week to week as your crews change and as games finish. Ask a coach, hey, do you have any problems last week? Or do you have any questions about some rule clarifications? Let's get to know it up front. And by coaches being able to express those things to you before the game, that sets an expectation throughout the day that, first of all, they're going to hold you to what you say, but they're going to know that on the youth level with fourth, fifth, sixth graders, if there's a hold 20 yards behind the play, I'm not going to throw that flag. What I'm going to do is, after the play is over, I'm going to walk back to that team's huddle, and I'm going to look the coach in the eye, or look if the coach is on the field at that level, or I'm going to talk to the player and say, hey, number 52, you held on that play. It didn't really affect the play. We're going to let it go, but if you keep doing it, I'm going to have to flag you. The kids get a warning. You're not interrupting the flow of the game. You're not putting a halt to the game, because anyone who's ever been to a youth game, or for that matter, a lot of freshman and varsity games that I've done too, if you called every false start, if you called every flinch on the line, if you called every hold, you would never get plays off. You'd be constantly marching off yardages. So as an official, especially at the lower levels, but even up into high school, you have to be an arbiter of the rules. You have to know when that penalty affected the play of the game and when it's something that you can solve with a simple word or sentence to a coach or to a player. Coaches appreciate that. I'll tell a coach all the time, it'll be a driving rainstorm, and some coach behind me, I'm the side judge, I'm the line judge, will be yelling, their guard is moving, their guard is moving. I'll turn around between the plays and I'll say, coach, it's raining out here. I'm not going to tell a 10-year-old kid he can't itch his nose and that's a false start. We're going to tell him that he shouldn't. We're going to tell him how he should approach that. But I'm not going to flag every 10 or 11-year-old kid the same way I would an 18-year-old kid on a Friday night. That communication, that openness, that honesty that officials can have with coaches, coaches should also have with officials and understand that and accept that. Because at the end of the day, it's about the kids. It's right. Not about the adults on the field.
Exactly. And from a coach's standpoint, it was important for me to try to develop a rapport with that crew, especially the guy who's going to be on my sideline and who I'd have a chance to communicate. And my tip to coaches is be the only guy who communicates with him. Don't let assistants say anything. Definitely don't let players say anything, because eventually there's too many voices and that guy's going to stop listening. You can't just always be hammering the officials and expect a positive response. In fact, at some point, that guy, by human nature, is probably going to say, forget it, I'm not listening to this guy anymore. And now some things that you might want to get across that are relevant aren't going to get to the officials. So I think that helps build a good rapport. I know from the beginning, working at the high school level with crews before the game, introduce yourself to every single guy. I always had a card ready with, here's my captains, my quarterback is right-handed, my punter's right, etc. Giving them that kind of information that helps them in the mechanics of what they're doing too, I think is hugely appreciated. So there's some things you can do actually to develop your rapport with those guys and be sure that, I don't know if you get them on your side, but they're certainly going to be open to listen when they know that you're there to work with them instead of just ride them the whole game.
Yeah, very much so. Like we talked about earlier, get to know the official's name so that when you have a question, you can say, hey, John, hey, Chuck, hey, Leslie, what did you see? Or number 72 is really killing our guys, holding them. It's right at the point of attack. Can you keep your eye out for it? Or I think you missed that one. Those kind of messages are going to go further, and the official will be more accepting of your opinion and your criticism than by referring to them in a derogatory name or just yelling or screaming or saying something like that. let them know that you actually saw, because there are coaches out there who will yell for a hold every time that they're on defense, or they'll yell for pass interference every time that they're on offense. And you're right, eventually that official will tune that out. And I like the fact, Keith, that you were the designated person to talk to that official. When the official has six voices going in his ear, he doesn't know who to turn around to and who to respond to. So the correct answer is just to look forward and continue on with the game. Because when push comes to shove, every time I take my eye off the field to address a coach, I'm taking my eye off the players, and I have to be watching post-play and pre-play for things like that. So for me as an official to turn around and address you, we have to make the best use of that time, and it has to be productive. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time and I'm missing things that are going on in the field potentially between plays.
The other thing I think to remember for high school coaches out there is you're probably going to be around doing this for a long time. You're going to see these guys time and time again. Word's going to get out on how you treat officials amongst that little fraternity that they have. And it's always better to be positive, to handle things the right way. And like you said before, you're not always going to agree on things. But as long as you approach it the right way, you'll end up developing relationships with those guys. I can think of particular an official in Lorain County here where I live, Al Ivey, who we're friends on Facebook. We talk about where my kids play now. I see him still out there officiating, and he does all three major sports. So you see him out there officiating, and you get to know those guys and realize that they're humans too. They're going to make mistakes, but they're out there for the most part because they love the game and because they love helping kids. And at the end of the day, that's what they see it as their chance to be involved in the game and help kids.
Yeah, and on top of that, by coaches showing respect to the officials, and I'm not saying you have to brown nose them. I'm not saying you have to agree with everything. And I'm not saying you got to keep your lid on throughout an entire game. It's in a very emotional time. But by coaches showing that restraint, by coaches showing the mature action, that shows their players how they should act around officials.
Exactly.
That's how it shows their parents how they should act around officials. And that shows their parents and players how they should act around other human beings. Because we need to respect each other within the game for people outside the game to respect us as well. We need to respect our teammates. We need to respect our opponents. We need to respect coaches, officials, and ourselves. And that all goes into what football is about and what football can teach. Because it's not just a battle out there. It is two sides fighting for the same thing. And officials are supposed to be the arbiters. They're supposed to be the neutral people on the field. And I will say 99.99% of the time, they have no stake in the game. I'm not going to say it never happened. We all have our biases back to our playing days, Keith, where there was a homer official and you were on it. But talk to that official just as you would anywhere else. Keep that line of communication open, and you will find that officials react, officials respect, and officials will see you as the person that they want to be seen as themselves.
Absolutely. And it's an important role in this game. I think it's one that we take for granted. And for the first time this season, I started to read articles or see articles popping up around the country about a shortage of officials. And we worry about the participation dropping, and we worry about, obviously, the safety issues of the game. But this is a serious issue that we need to address. And as coaches, we have to find ways to help our game in this regard, whether it's maybe encouraging former players to get involved or, again, just treating the officials we have there right now, treating them the right way. We got to make sure that we grow this game that way as well. So with that in mind, I know that's something you're speaking about at our USA National Conference. What tips do you have for us as coaches to help in that regard?
Sure. As coaches, and especially at the high school level, but at the youth level too, you're the leaders in the community. You know all the former players who have passed through that system, or you've been around, or you know people who know them. A lot of former players want to get involved in the game, and the ones who are fortunate enough to coach, they can go down that road. But maybe someone only has a day or two a week where they can be free, and officiating might be a way for them to get back into it. And what that does also is that humanizes those coaches for you. Your players see a former player out there as an official. That humanizes that position for them. It grows the football community, not just on the field. Well, you know, officials are on the field, but you know what I mean. Not just within the players and the coaches' sense, but it's all part of the same family. And by your officials, your former players being out there as officials, and you wouldn't treat your former players like you treat some of those officials maybe you do sometimes. And there's a lot of reasons why officiating ranks are shrinking in many states. But the reason I hear more often than not anecdotally is I just don't want to put up with coaches anymore. There'll be two or three or four coaches in a county that it's not worth my time. I can go drive Uber. I can go do something else and make some money in my spare time. So you're taking people with a passion for the game and driving them out. And just like that's wrong to do that to players to drive them out of the game, we can't be driving coaches and officials out of the game too by not making it part of that big community. So at the USA Football National Conference coming up in Orlando, Josh Huber, who's a high school referee in California, and I are going to be talking about ways for specifically youth leagues to recruit and retain their officials. And there's a lot of pieces that go into this. Some of it's stuff we've already talked about. Tap into that former player base. Tap into the brothers and even the sisters, the moms and the dads of players who want to be part of the game but don't have more than a day or two a week maybe to help out. Train your officials. USA Football worked with Bill Lemonnier, former Big Ten referee, on some great online training for officials. When I started out as an official, here's how it worked. I said, hey, I'd love to do it. They said, great, be at the field at this time. Bring your whistle and a uniform and get going. There's things that every official needs to know before they step onto the field, and not just the rules. We're talking about how to be in the right position to see the call, how to communicate with players and coaches, how to keep the game moving at a good pace. All those things you can learn before you walk onto the field if you take some online education and you encourage these young officials to reach out and seek help. Build a mentorship program for officials just like you do coaches. You don't stick all the best coaches on the same teams and then let all the other teams fend for themselves. Just the same way, you don't take all the good, experienced officials and stick them on the same crews and then have all the young or inexperienced ones on their own. You have to intertwine them. You have to have more advanced officials bringing younger officials along and answering their questions on the field and making corrections on the field. It's a learning process like that. And that's how youth football used to serve, and that's what youth football needs to get better at. But with the decline in the number of high school officials there are now, that learning and that on-the-field, sort of on-the-job training has gone up to the high school level. And we can't have that there because the kids are bigger, faster, stronger. And that's where we really need the officials who have the experience, who know what they're doing. And that's why building that core down at the younger levels will make the high school game stronger in the long run.
And I know for the guys going, maybe this isn't the most exciting topic. You want to go learn about X's and O's or hear this leadership talk or hear how to build a program, but it is worth considering. And if you do have those issues, if you feel like good officiating is a problem where you're at, this is definitely a talk you want to listen to and get your coaches involved in making sure they treat officials the right way. And I think, Joe, you made an important point earlier. When your players see that, the parents certainly see that, especially in some of these venues we have for youth football, they're going to act a certain way too. They're going to follow the lead of the coaches. If a coach is losing his mind, especially youth games where everybody's up there tight, if he's losing his mind on the sideline, the parents are going to follow suit. It's going to degrade quickly. And ultimately, the ones who hurt are the kids out on the field.
Yeah, we need better coaches. We need trained coaches. We need better officials. We need trained officials because those people working together is what makes the game fun for the kids, and the kids come back the next year and the kids play. So by working with your officials and working with your younger coaches, you're building your player base that way because they're going to interact better with those kids. So those kids are going to have a better time.
Well, Joe, thanks for being on the podcast here, talking about an important topic. Joe, thanks for being with us and sharing that information. And thank you for sharing that information with Josh Huber at National Conference as well.
Anytime, Keith. Keep up the good work.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.